And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Unafeared, here, undeclared, your independence from Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, Freedoms Phoenix, .com. One is good as some. Okay. Donna and I are just going to, yak it for the first couple hours, and then in the third hour, Brian and Alma, and baby Neo, the undocumented human Bitcoin tour. Now they're up at Jackalope now. Okay, they went yesterday or day before or whatever. They've been up there, and it's not really supposed to start with supposed to. There's nobody in charge, so it doesn't really matter, but they advertise it as the 28th, which is what, today, yesterday, yesterday. So it's just you show up whenever, and then it's mainly Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Don and I will stay Monday just to clean up, make sure, and just chill and not have everybody around. We just relax a day. And Sunday night, it's kind of been traditional. We just kind of whatever everybody has left over, we just do the big giant, potluck feast thing, And that worked out well last year, so we're going to do that again. So the Jackalope Freedom Festival is just in the forest up on the rim here in Arizona. Now, what that means is the rim is about, I think it starts at about 5,000 something feet. It's you go up to Payson, which is about an hour and a half from Phoenix, and you go to Payson about 90 miles away, and you get up there, and it starts at the base of the rim at the bottom of the cliff. And you'll just kind of, it's nice, some pine trees and everything, and you'll see just a cliff. And there's winding roads that go up there, and it's about 30 miles, So as you're going up, 20, 25 miles, you get up to the top of the rim, and you're in a whole different climate. It's cooler, it's nice, it's pine trees, it's, dense foliage on the ground. I mean, you wouldn't even know you're in Arizona. I mean, the traditional movie set kind of thing, you just no cactuses. I mean, it's just not. Then you go a little bit further into the White Mountains, and it's like it's Oregon or something. I mean, it's just ferns on the ground. There is such a wide variety of life here in Arizona, and there's bears and elk and kind of, it's Arizona. Until you live here and you tour the state a little bit, do some camping, you have no idea. But when it's 115 down here, it's a very nice 70-something up there. So we're going to get, we've been kind of accumulating stuff, and we're just so busy, all big giant plans of anything, you get down to the time, and just bring the tent. But we'll bring some goodies up there. We'll have some fun. Lots of food. And then it keeps growing to where I knew if you just leave it alone, no rules, just whatever, people will start supplying some food. I mean, they've actually, because of Jackalope, they've bought and built, different trailers and things that they now use at other festivals and such here in Arizona, the Southwest, and go and supply. So we're going, all right. So the hopefully there'll be more solar. We bring up generators and so on, but they're just, noisy no matter how long your cord is, over the hill kind of thing. But, it's just so it's kind of going more solar, solar heating of the water, solar. And it's dry camping is what they call it. I mean, it is out in the middle. You just plop down in the middle of the forest, and that's just, you're there. and there's no running water. So what we do is the jackalope takes donations, and whoever he is, you know, puts up porta potties. So we put up a lot of porta potties, and that makes it, you know, kind of convenient for everybody. So we're getting ready to go up there. You know, Donna is not a big giant camper, because she just like work for her, but you know, so if I tow my weight and we don't make it too complicated, she enjoys it, you know. So let's ask, you know, we're going to Jackalope. Are you excited, Donna?
Yeah, it'd be nice to get up in the to get up in the mountains and get away from the heat.
Well, what do you plan, you know, when we go up there?
Anything plan. To do nothing. To ride around, shoot, rest, I don't know, read.
Yeah, that's one thing, you know, the shooting. I just, you know, I don't have time to go. Here, you bring whatever you think you want to do. I'll probably bring the 10/22 and, I don't know, maybe a handgun, just a 9mm, something. I mean, you know, so, but mainly the 10/22. And I'll go through $1 billion worth of 22. But we'll sit up there and just, you know, plink, 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 plink. And it's just relaxing. It's fun to just go up. And whenever I feel, you know what? I feel like doing some shooting. Get on the ATV, you know, go a quarter mile down the up the forest road, and there's places all over. I mean, it's a forest. I mean, it's just everywhere open. There was a forest fire up there, I don't know, about a decade ago or so, and it just cleared a bunch of stuff. You got big, giant, open, you know, dead trees everywhere and so on, burnt. Kind of. I mean, it looks kind of cool as you see the forest coming back, because it comes back. But now it gives you a big, giant, mild cross a valley, open area, there's nothing, you know, so other than down trees and so on. So there's plenty of places to shoot up there. And and we just pick a tree and just start, you know, shooting off all the dead branches. I mean, we are very accurate with our scopes and our 22s.
Some of us.
Ding, 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 ding. And then a lot of the guys go up there and they learn to shoot. You know, that's, you know, their first times and so on. Okay, let's go ahead before the break. The Jackalope Freedom Festival non-event, and it's jackfest.rainberry.com, so that's Alma, I guess, R-A-Y-N-E, Berry, but you just go Jackalope Freedom Festival, and it'll come up. And then, you know, a lot of times they just call it Jackfest, but, you know, call it the Jackalope. Yeah, it's Porkfest, Jackfest, you know, it just doesn't get any better, you know. I like Scorpupine, you know. The Scorpupine logo, it's like a porcupine with a scorpion tail on it. You know, I always that was my favorite, but it turns into whatever it is because nobody's in charge. So we have the Jackalope Freedom Festival. Now, a jackalope is a, you know, mythical animal that it's like a big rabbit with antlers on it. And, you know, a lot of people, they think it's real. So the kids, we just have the jackalope hunt, you know, and we hide a little paper mache or a laminated picture of it or grab something that represents the jackalope, and we hide it out in the forest, and we kind of put an area, you know, where they don't get lost. And you say, okay, we put some, you know, caution tape around certain areas. Okay, it's top of that hill, bottom of that ravine, you know, to the tape. Oh, it's in there somewhere. And then we hide it, and man, they go at it. We have been really creative in hiding this thing, and you get a bunch of little kids, maybe dozen, you know, dozens, you know, kids just run around, they find stuff, you know. So it's the fourth year that'll be fun. It's called Baca Meadow. And the thing that was interesting about Baca Meadow is they have a cemetery there, a little cemetery that they've, you know, steel fenced off in there. You can go in there, but, you know, so you're not messing it up. And it's the people that homesteaded it back in the late 1800s. And Baca was from northeastern Arizona, from like Sholo and so on, going to Prescott, it was one of the stops. And it was a family farm, a ranch there, that somehow got willed into management by the Forest Service, but there's no designation for it. We looked for the land and just wanted to know what was going on when the forest rangers being butt heads. Come to find out, it's not on any list. It doesn't belong to anybody. There's some weird thing going on there. So they don't want us looking too deep, so they just leave us alone. Hey, we're, you know, what was the deal on this stuff? Oh, I think we'll just hang out here. Unless you guys want to talk about it. Well, they don't want to talk about it. So we're going to go up there probably early in the morning tomorrow. We'll be all ready and camp set up by lunchtime tomorrow, and then we'll report next week.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
The Jackalope is going camping. He'll be near Baca Meadows. All right, let me tell you where that is. Jack Fest, the Jackalope Freedom Festival, where spontaneous order happens naturally without any force, coercion, or aggression. The camping festival is held on National Forest land. Entrance to Black Canyon Lake is at the corner of the Rim Road, 260, and Forest Road, 300 St. Greaves National Forest, Forest Lake Estates, 85931. I guess that's the zip code. Now, this is the announcement. Hour three, we're going to be talking with Alma and Brian. They're up there already with their baby Neo. And we're going to go ahead and get up there. Probably not tonight. We'll probably leave really early in the morning, get everything all ready today. The Jackalope is going camping 29th to the 3rd. Okay, today is the 29th. A lot of people have been up there like Monday. I mean, it used to be, when we first started, it was just a weekend thing. And then we went a little early, stayed a little late. So it's kind of like, you know, whatever. It's the first weekend in August. So August is, that's kind of just what we decided. That's when Jackalope likes to go camping. There are no immediate bathrooms or showers in the area. There is no water or electricity access. Bring your generators and RVs if you need electricity. And, you know, and a lot of people are starting to go to solar. It gives it a lot better. I was looking, you know, we have ATVs going around and everything, but you really don't need to start them. If you had an electric ATV, I'm really getting this electric thing. You know, I'm looking for electric, a lot quieter and kind of, you know, one charge do you the whole freaking weekend. Humans are encouraged to bring things others traveling from far away might need access to. Any extra generators, toilet and shower equipment, cooking equipment, elevation is 7,600 feet there. It averages about 82 degrees at the hottest during the day, which is bring a sweater in Arizona because it's so dry. But the, but you know, 82 is a high is in, and that's just for a little bit. And you're in the trees and everything, and you better have a jacket or sweater on at night and be by the campfire. So it's really nice. I mean, compared to, God, it'd be, how many was 30 degrees hotter down in the valley. I mean, damn. All artists, activists, people who are self-sustainable, and any other freedom-loving person following the non-aggression principle is welcome. The Jackalope Freedom Festival is where liberty-loving individuals come to be left alone to connect with each other. The Jackalope would also like to encourage any cob home specialists, natural builders, land patent specialists, and agorists to come. Live music should be playing at all times, so bring on the musicians. See you all there. Now, the reason that's listed is Alma is big. You know, it's all, you know, because Alma says. You know, she wrote it. She wants to do what she wants. She's encouraging people that will build homes, you know, using their own labor. And she's really into the land patent. Now, that was a big deal in the early 90s here in Arizona. It's called bringing the patent forward. And what it meant is that the government couldn't just take or put a lien on and, you know, and out from under you, and it's ours now, you know, or even eminent domains and so on were kind of stopped this way. So it was a mechanism by which the ownership of it didn't go through the government. It went straight to the person. And this is bringing a patent forward. What that is like all the land was here granted by Spain or something, or it was a lot of times Spain would give it to certain or sections of land originated theirs. It would give to a private individual even before there was a United States. So in those circumstances, if you can bring the patent forward, it kind of cuts the government out. And that's what, you know, certainly the mythology is. I mean, it does work, and I know people that have done it. But it's like, you know, if they don't like it, they don't like it, you know, and they do. So it's and that patent coming forward was supported by what judge? But it's been done, and she's very interested, and that's why she puts this on here and encourages that. And also there's the Cobb home. There's a lot of different natural ways, certainly when you have a dry climate like in Arizona, that the natives built their homes, you know, the adobe is one thing. And there's a bunch of other stuff. Cobb home is like mud and straw, and you form it into, I got a big, giant, thick wall of, you know, it's the Alamo, you know. So there's a, that's one thing that Adam Kokesh has really encouraged. Donna's helping look for large tracts of land. This is exactly what he wants to do. And he wants to have a lot of people in the freedom movement to come and help learn how to build stuff, kind of like, I don't know, like you're in New Mexico in Taos or something. So the Earthship kind of thing. So that's cool. That's cool. Now, there's a piece of a small community called Concho up in this area. It's not too far away, hour and a half away. And it's up on the high country up there that Alma has. They, you know, a lot of people, we've been buying little pieces of land around up there and stuff. And you got your own little place. Well, it's not a big enough land area that we're all together in one place. Not that that's necessarily bad. But some people want to be more in a single community or even on connected pieces of land. Well, then you start getting into subdivision stuff and who's going to whatever. You know, and that's dominates a lot of the conversation while we're up there. Wouldn't this be nice if? So we're working on it. You know, it's kind of evolving. And let's see, for more information, jackalopefreedomfestival.com, and you can join Facebook and Twitter groups and blah, 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 blah. So this is just, for me and Donna, it's just, what do you think Jackalope is? Donna, what are you looking forward to when we go?
It's just a chance to get out of the heat and go visit with other activists up there. It has grown over the years, and so we've invited people, and I know there's probably some new people that are coming this time just because they've heard us talk about it or seen the ads on Freedom's Phoenix. But so hopefully, I mean, it's just drawing new people from all walks, and other people come from other states too. So it's not just Arizona. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, some people come from other states and then stayed here.
Yeah,
you know, they just move. They said, you know what, this doesn't suck. This is Arizona. This isn't that bad.
I'm going, well, yeah, up there.
You go, yeah. So you, if you want to be in the valley. But it's really kind of evolved, as it always does. You know, it's a kid-friendly thing. I mean, the first year, everybody's just like, you know, how free can I be? And then it's like, you know, don't be a jerk. And then just the children. I mean, man, it is a, you know, the kids about number the adults. It's just everybody. I would really had liked to have brought the grandkids. It may be a little young to bring all of them, but I'm thinking that, you know, yeah,
too late to bring Buddy. He probably want to go.
Yeah, you know, that's a nickname for a little Corsair. But, you know, Buddy's 4 years old. I don't know if he'd be able to go the whole time. He might. He'd grow up there. I tell you what, he'd just be out, you know, wandering around being mountain lion bait or something. I mean, you know, that'd give him something to, you know, give him a sharp stick or something. I mean, you know, here, defend yourself. So, yeah, would you like to try and take him? Well, then Kaylee, you'll be all freaked out.
Yeah, because Kaylee starts school Monday. So, yeah, probably not this year. I know they were kind of pining the other day for a sleepover, but
yeah, we'll be going a week from this Friday, this week. But next Friday, we get the first week of, you know, mandatory youth indoctrination camp for Kaylee. You know, she told mom that, you know, nobody's really excited about her going back to government school, first grade. They were not impressed. She's like, I don't want to go. Because if I don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, I have to sit on the bench during recess. Yeah, that's a whole thing we're finding out. Mom didn't know that. We're like, what?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Okay, I'm on free, you know, this is what we'll do, damn it. You know, we go on to Freedom's Phoenix, and there's just so many things. You know, yesterday, you know, I finally got to spend time just kind of doing it myself. You'll see a lot of this, you know, Ernie did it. Because usually I send it to staff and have them put it up and so on. But I said, let me go through. I want to get some of the information up here that I think is worth us talking about. So we're going to do that because... God dang it. Well, I tell you, yesterday's show was cool, too. Now, this is, let me pull these up. I got this one. I want to talk about this one. I want to talk about that one. Let's see. Is there another one? Okay, that'll get us going. We'll, no way we'll get through all this. But the one thing that was of great interest yesterday in the show was this Alexandria project, the decentralized library of everything. And it's Block Tech is the name of the company, is Devin Reed and Ryan Taylor. Now, we also had the director of the movie Cartel Land, which I think we might do a movie night here at the film bar. So it was playing at one of the Harkin theaters here, but it's already run and done, and they've been going through a lot of art theaters and such like that, where you have people that will buy out a theater, or they'll show it, you know, one weekend, and it'll be kind of a thing, and hoping they get a wider distribution. But this is a subject, no, heck no, they don't want to talk about entire valleys or villages arming up 20,000 people with rifles, you know, battle rifles that they get when it's illegal to have a rifle in Mexico, and they did battle with the cartels and the government. Well, the psychology, you know, that he learned from this, he's just like, wow, when they do get in power and they do it with force and they're kind of in charge, then do they turn bad? You know, and that was, he just saw that happen before his eyes over 9 months. He spent a couple of weeks a month over 9 months embedding himself. You know, he had a small crew a lot of the times, but he'd go in and, man, he said the movie starts in a meth lab and ends in a meth lab. And he goes, I've been in the torture chambers. I've been in, you know, the villages when they captured guy, got it on film, when they get cartel members. I mean, it's just, you know, ew. So I'm interested in this because it has two men. One is a doctor in a town in Mexico that was kind of the center of all this. And now I thought he was dead, but I think he's in jail. You know, he didn't want to give it away, the ending. They're like, hey, watch the movie. The other guy is... And I asked a friend of mine, you know, like Chip, when he was in, and I'm going, well, who is this guy? Do you know who that guy is? There was this guy that is part of the Border Patrol of, I mean, he's not U.S. Border Patrol. He's, you know, militia patrol guy, you know, that has some guys going down, and they're just, you know, you're not invading America, and we're going to get some. And so I'm just going, okay, how many, I don't know what happened. You know, was there deaths? Did they shoot him? They just grab him and incarcerate him? I mean, a lot of the guys, we knew some guys and interviewed him that have done this, and they just kind of want to hold him for the border agents. Well, border agents don't want it. They don't care. They're like, hey, man, nobody put a memo in my inbox that I had to go do something. So there's just something weird going on down there. I've been down there, and I went and met with some of the guys in the ranches and so on, and they started using, years ago, this is like 5-6 years ago, they were using UAVs. You know, they had their own remote control airplanes they were getting video of. They had, you know, infrared on a tower next to the border there on a ranch with a big camera that was 24/7 webcast, and people just sit there and watch it, and they would signal them and call them when they saw people coming up. It just, they didn't have to monitor it. There were plenty of people all over the country that were looking at the feed, and they could see them bringing the backpacks, walking up the riverbed where they had it pointing right down where there was a conduit of these guys coming in. The Border Patrol's like, you know, thanks. You know, there's something weird going on. So that was the point that they were making. Is that this is not, it's all propaganda. There's not really any effort to, I don't know what's going on, but it's not what they're saying. So this movie is going to It'll be educational. I got the impression his philosophy may not be, you know, well, if we just got rid of all the guns, there wouldn't be any problem or something. I'm sure, you know, the philosophy didn't line right up. But it is interesting to see that, for me, the rise of people, and then when they take over and win with guns, what happened? Then you got new guy was with guns, you know, and yay, now we're in charge, you know. So I'm just, it's a philosophical thing, and I'd like to go do it. So Donna and I are working on getting the movie into, there's downtown, there's a thing called the Film Bar, and it's a bar, a lounge. You get a little something to eat and sit there and drink and party, and it's only about 70-80 people that can fit in the theater, but it's nice, and I really enjoyed it. We go see some, you know, films like this there. So I think we might sponsor something within the next couple of weeks and do this, because I just think it might be of interest. I probably should pre-screen it first, but nah, you know, we'll just do it and go evaluate it ourselves. So as a group, just for fun. So we'll do that. Then the Alexandria project came on, and this has been, I say, Made Safe or Made Safe like or something kind of, and I'm glad that there's competing tech. Made Safe is a little bit more isolated from the system than that, because this one uses kind of like a Tor routing thing. I'm not even sure it's on Tor, but what they're doing is they're using the blockchain to be a, like we had Namecoin, you know, you can, you know, register domains and so on in this blockchain tech. Well, they're using that. It's called Flowcoin or something. But what they're using is blockchain technology to index all of the files that are put on this forever internet. So you go, how do you do the search engine? What's the search engine? How do you, hey, you know, it's how you fill it out and put it in. Boom, there it's done. You know, on this blockchain. That can then, you take those fields and you use that as your search to do whatever engine they create later. And so I'm going, okay. Then there's financial incentives for you to house the, you know, kind of like Made Safe, you know, their safe coin. Then you have the ability to, you know, put it, and they're closer, you know. So we're going, okay, we're going, I am not picky, man. I'm going to, as many places I can get forever files of embed on our site, and they can't take it down. This is going to change. Let me put it, tell you what it does. It makes everything and everybody everywhere WikiLeaks. That's what it does. The information came in, it's there, you know, peace out, you know, and then there's going to be problems. Oh, that was irresponsible if somebody did and put that up. Yeah, somebody did. Well, who do you blame? I don't know. The system thing. It allows you to, it's up there, and I click the button, and when it's the way the internet used to be. You know, it was, everybody was so freaked out about all the evil and bad stuff that, but that's not where the traffic is, other than Ashley Madison, that they hack. Ah, you know, so they, oh, what if there's a dating site? You know, it's going to be date, porn, games, whatever. And there's no censorship. I don't know how the tracking would be, though. Maybe they could track them, you know, find out. I don't know. But to be able to have files that don't go away, that's my main concern for whistleblowers. Video of malfeasance and, you know, evil done by somebody, you know, that we should all be informed so that we can make better decisions. So that is not good to the man. He's like, oh, hell no, you're so not allowed. So you listen to the bonus. We separated it out in the MP3 file of yesterday's show. It's in the, you know, last, you know, hour of it, last couple hours where we just, you know, yak without interruption. And we did a new video. You know, we just started the fourth video yesterday. That's up, right, Donna? That's all. Yeah. So we got, so we have that up there. You listen to that, and you'll go, you'll see the plan. The plan. You know, so I sent it to some of the developer guys, and I said, okay, here's the opportunity. Are we ready? You know, let's go ahead and, you know, rock and roll and whatnot. Let's make it go work, because we've been setting up Freedom's Phoenix for just this reason, just this way, for just this opportunity. That's why I just hired a guy yesterday that's going to be, I've been, you know, yelling, screaming for somebody. I've got a guy I know that's coming in. He's going to be doing, building up some the social networking and so on and getting that done. He starts today to where we're going to have this army of social networking and to encourage everybody to go, and we're not here anymore. We're over there. You know, because that is, I'm really, 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 really wanting to make sure this takes off, because we need it.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies, your soul.
Okay, let's see how fast we can go over the news. Now, of course, the big news is Jackalope Freedom Festival starting today, and we're going in, peace. So we're going to be off. We have reruns tomorrow and Friday and Monday. And then we'll talk all about everything that we may do some interviews. I have the capability of just doing quick interviews, and I may do that. We'll compilate something together of the people that go up there, so you kind of get a feel for, and we'll talk to the little kiddies. Now I'll make it fun and not too drawn out and skip to the end. But we'll go ahead and have fun with that, and you'll hear about it all next week. Or you can just go. You should go because I really love the Jackalope because it is a last minute, no stress. You just freaking go. If you got a tent and camp, you don't even need to bring food. There's always somebody making food for something. Bring some silver and Bitcoin, mostly silver. Because this is spotty coverage up there. I mean, I'm amazed you even get anything. But, if you do the funky chicken pose, and you have your phone just right, you can get a signal. But it's the main thing is silver. That's what's used primarily up there. And you go in with some silver, and you can just pretty much, get any and everything you want. They probably even have some extra sleeping bags. So this is an enjoyable, relaxing, just camping with friends, chilling. What do you want to do? I don't know. I want to sit here and watch the wind blow through the trees and chill in perfect weather. That's what I want to do. So we'll have some fun. You make notes of next year. I'm going to maybe not. But we've been pimping it out pretty good. Because I got to make it nice for Donna or she doesn't want to play. So Donna, for you, are you looking for, we got enough, comfort accoutrement that's going to make you happy?
Yeah, we've amassed some things over the last 30 years. So we've got some, this year, instead of an air mattress, we have this old RV. And I said, well, let's just throw those old beds in there. That way you don't have to worry about, pumping up our air mattresses all the time go flat. So I don't know. We'll see how that works.
Well, when we get the right one that's not flat, I really like them. They're comfortable as heck.
Yeah, but I don't know. They always end up deflating overnight. So, or at least where it's not comfortable, we're both in the middle of the bed and it's not comfortable.
Well, that's the one that we don't take anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, they all do that, I think, to some degree. But I don't remember which one's which because we have so many.
Well, let's test them and pick the good ones.
Anyway, we have a whole...
So you just want to do the cushions that are in the RV.
Yeah, I think we can try that this year. I mean, what's so big about that?
Because they take up a lot of space.
Okay.
But
if you don't, then you got to bring... You got to bring electricity for, being able to... Whatever. I don't care. I just thought we'd try it.
All right. That's because Donna said... Then it's a good idea because Donna said.
But it's kind of cool because we have a little kitchen that we have. And when the old place that
are
we
are you
used,
taking a kitchen?
Yeah, we'll take that little thing, that little portable kitchen thing. It's really cool.
We did Craigslist that when the kids
bucks.
Were little or something. Yeah, you got it on Craigslist or something?
It was after they were, moved out or they were older or whatever. But I just was looking for something on Craigslist like that because they were like $120 new. And I found it on Craigslist for $35. It's kind of like metro shelving, but it's kind of cheap, but it holds up really
it's
well.
It's light aluminum that you clunk 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 it all together. I keep figuring
Takes
out how to put that thing
3
together.
3 minutes to put it up.
Yeah,
and then
if you know how.
It's got several tables and shelving and things to hang things on, and it's a nice little kitchen thing for us to use. And then we have the old place we used to have outside our back door. It didn't really have any type of patio. It had a little stoop, and that's it. So we put this old fake grass, the things that you can get for like 4x8 or whatever and just rolls. So we put, that's like what we use now for our, right outside our tent. So we have like grass outside of our
tent.
That
makes it a lot better.
Yeah, especially when it's raining because then you have that. And
little simple stuff like this has made camping much more pleasurable.
Yeah, and
the big thing is shade.
The canopies we have this year, we have a bigger canopy and we have nicer chairs. A couple months ago, we got some nicer chair, fold up chairs.
Oh, are you taking this big canopy in the back here?
No, the blue one, but that's a bigger one and a nicer, sturdier one than what we've had in the past.
What, the one that's out here on the
thing
now?
The blue
now?
One, yeah. That's the one you told Gina to pack up and take, right?
That's over all the aquaponic stuff that we're working on?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that, that's what she said you told her to pack up and take?
Yeah, no, I wanted to make sure she put all the stuff out of the rain, you know, that it's covering. But we're working on an aquaponic kit for her daughter. And it's, Bob and I went and bought all the tanks. We got all the plumbing in our head, and we just went and spent hundreds of dollars just getting there, and we're just building it, and all the ideas, and all the filtration systems, and all the controls and the valves, and make this thing easy. Because for an extra $100 and a couple of elbows and valves, you know, you can really automate this thing. The only problem is with aquaponics is that you get a buildup of algae, or, you know, it gets dirty, or you get the root systems after a while when you get so much fish material, it kind of blocks the flow even in the rocks, you know, it just kind of dams up and you got to clean it. Just some maintenance. And it's not a lot. I mean, it's like every 3 months you got to do something. You know, I kind of, yeah, but I have to do something every 3 months. Oh my God, I had to vacuum the pool once a week. I mean, you know, it's just like, no. Nah. Is there something we can do to, yeah. Swirl filters and sand filters. The rock and gravel sand filter that Bob has come up with and the way to clean it, that is freaking genius. So we kind of customized it instead of having it, you know, in, he was using, totes, you know, trash cans and so on, kind of a testing, but they start splitting and stuff, you know, and timing, like, oh, so we just, you know, skip to the end and get these big poly barrels. So we were out there, you know, heat bending, you know, making manifolds with air pressure. I was showing Donna how it worked. Look at this, you know. And so I'm thinking it's going, I don't know if they'll appreciate it, you know, as much as they go, well, I had to push the button. I mean, you know, I mean, come on. But so this is really going to be, there's some components and some designs in there that we're documenting that we're going to share with people. Because I want them to, I go, look, this is, you know, it's not that hard. But man, just getting over the mental hurdle of how much space you need to do and how big the holes are and how far apart they are. And blah, 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 the template.
That's what Bob's for.
I know. Let's say, hey, Bob!
Show me, I can do it. Just show me how to do it.
Well, the thing is that, you know, I could do it and follow him. It's just, you know, he and I work well together, and we just kind of head down, plow, informed minds, and we just, you know, make it work. And so now we got to start doing the measurements and, you know, to replicate it. Because I want to do another sand filter for our aquapod, because that thing is amp. So I got enough of the elbows and everything and the material to do one for us, too, because I really want to do that. And it just makes it a lot better. When we come back, what I want to do is go to the news. We got the Jacko. We'll talk about that with Brian Alma come up. And then we just got a minute now. But there's so many headlines that is, you know, just what the world goes on around us. And this is just the top half of Freedom's Phoenix today. I mean, oh, yesterday, this was a big thing. I want to make you guys know that. Mind-blowing temperature fraud at the NOAA. Well, this is a, what is NOAA? The National
Oceanic Atmospheric Association or something like that.
It's a government of weather thing. So we go there to get the satellite, because they have a satellite feed that you can do water vapor. And, you know, they do infrared, visual, cloud cover. I just do the water vapor thing, shows the water in the air. Live satellite feeds are like 15 minutes, and it updates, you know, a time lapse. And you can see where the systems are coming from. So when we go, let's go take a look at, you know, the weather. Well, I mean, I don't mean the weather what they say the weather is. I mean, I get to actually satellite see what the freaking weather is. So when you do that, you can see the pattern. You go, yeah, I think we're going to get it tonight or we're not. When we had the pool party last Saturday, it was, oh, man, we're all going to storm. We're all going to die. And I go, you know, I see the weather patterns here. It looks like it's going to go to the left and the right of right where we're at. And that's exactly what happened. Clouds went over that way, went over there. We got a little bit of tinkle, tinkle, some, but the party was fine. And it was because I could see it on the map.
You know, I was going to say something about the weather. I always check that site. I've checked that site for probably 7 or 8 years now, and it's always been fairly accurate. It's like when you see what's there, you see what's coming, it's usually very accurate, and you'll see. But it seems like in the last 6 months to a year, when I'm checking it, it'll say, well, we have a storm over us, and there's nothing there. It's like, so I don't know.
I don't look at the forecasting thing. I look at what it actually,
that's what it is. It's like, yeah, it's like past history. And, you know, and it's like it doesn't mesh with the weather that's there or what's coming. It just seems like it was something's off. That was my two cents.
I read the tea leaves better than you. I think. Well, we got to give an example of it. We'll go through it. I love having this. I learned this from a weather guy at one of the radio stations I was at. Jim Howe. How's the weather? So he would do a his reports and everything. He'd sit there and he'd come in. And in 10 minutes, he's done. I go, how do you do this? He showed me all the different things he went to. I go, well, hell, I can do that. You know? And he goes, yes, you can. You know, that you should pay me for that information I just gave you. So I'm going, all right. So we add that when you get your custom module on Freedom's Phoenix. We have that page embedded.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keenan, the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. Silver is trading at $14.67 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,095 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $292. Antiwar.com reports over the weekend, Taliban forces overran a major police base in Badakhshan in northeastern Afghanistan, routing the force and capturing some 110 police, who they later disarmed and released. This was a huge defeat, but just one of the many as the Taliban racks up victories across the nation's north. The latest offensives have the Taliban capturing a major district in the Sar-e-Pul province, once again forcing the police to surrender and chasing a garrison of 200 soldiers into the neighboring province. The Taliban also made new advances into Kunduz province, the main target of their spring offensive, forcing several government allied militias into retreat. Afghan defense ministry officials downplayed the losses, saying a few districts here and there were not something to panic about and that they'd eventually retake them. The defenders who lost those districts, however, complained they were not supported by the central government with reinforcements to hold them in the first place. The Afghan military has struggled with recruitment for years as a combination of attrition and mass desertion has kept their ranks teeming with new, poorly trained recruits, and while officials continue to downplay the defeats, the routes suggest they simply aren't able to effectively support defenders in much of the country and are relying on random militia allies to carry the battles with larger Taliban forces that's losing them territory.
You can support FPP Radio by joining the Fans Program. Fans help FPP afford to produce more original content. You can join the Fans Program for as little as $3 per month or any amount of Bitcoin per month, thanks to the recurring payment options provided by Coinbase. To learn more or to join the Fans Program, visit fans.fppradio.com.
UPI reports Curtis Fairchild Jones, who at age 12 was considered the youngest convicted murderer in United States history, walked out of prison yesterday a free man at the age of 29. Jones and his 13-year-old sister, Catherine, admitted in 1999 to killing their father's girlfriend, Sonia Nicole Spite, with their father's handgun amid claims that they were sexually abused by a male relative living with them. They claimed neither their father nor Spite would help them, so they plotted to kill all three. The claims were never substantiated. Prosecutors said the children were jealous of Spites. At the time, they were the youngest children in U.S. history to be charged as adults for first-degree murder. Instead of spending life in prison, they pled guilty to second-degree murder, were sentenced to 18 years in prison and probation for the rest of their life. Tuesday morning, Jones left the prison an ordained minister with very little knowledge of the outside world. His sister Catherine is set to be released on August 1st. Experts say it's likely to be a difficult transition for the siblings, especially Curtis, who will not have the support of a spouse. Florida has a three-phase program to assist assimilation that includes help with basic life skills, from using a cell phone to managing money.
For over 35 years, Robertson Roberts has been a trusted source for buying and selling your investment-grade precious metals. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and permanently removed the minimum purchase order for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Robertson Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on investing and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 850-478-5270 or online at rrbi.co.
Reuters reports the California lawmaker who made it harder for parents to opt out of vaccinating their children, a stance that earned him death threats, is now launching a campaign to save his job days after the state certified a recall effort against him. Democratic State Senator Richard Pan, a Sacramento pediatrician who introduced a measure eliminating California's personal belief exemption to vaccine requirements for school children in response to a measles outbreak at Disneyland, plans to go public on Wednesday with a website and social media campaign aimed at fighting off the recall drive. Under the new law, which goes into effect next year, only children with medical reasons to avoid vaccination may attend school without them. Unvaccinated children would have to be homeschooled or study in small private homeschool groups. The measure generated vociferous opposition from some parents, many of whom fear a link between childhood vaccinations and autism, and others who feared intrusion on their freedom of religion. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
Following reports of a newly posted job listing at area marketing firm Swenson Digital, The Onion spoke to a few of the 1,400 applicants who claim they are, quote, absolutely perfect for this position.
When I first saw this opening, I knew it was right for me. I've got tons of experience. I've got all the skills they're looking for.
If you look at my resume, I've got everything they're looking for. I mean, I've held similar jobs like this in the past. I'm extremely driven. I really think this is going to work out.
I've got a BA in marketing, which the posting said was recommended, so I think that'll bode really well for me. I've had plenty of team experience, and I think that would stand out, not to mention the fact that I'm great with
web design and HTML, and pretty proficient with Excel and PowerPoint. Also, I think the culture is
very me, you know. I think I'd fit in well with the other employees. I also think I had a great resume
and cover letter. I think as soon as they interview me, they'll see I'm the perfect candidate.
As of this video's release, Swenson Digital had extended a job offer to an applicant who happens to be a friend of the boss's son.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared until we read the news on Freedom's Phoenix. Ugh. We'll go ahead and go, and then we're still unafeared. We're going to go, while everything's falling apart, we'll be up in the pines. No, 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 no. So what I'm going to go ahead and do, the big, you know, controversy yesterday, you know, Weathergate. I mean, you know, it's always some gate. You know, a lot of people don't understand what that means. It's a Watergate. You know, it's a big, you know, controversy, Watergate, and they found the people breaking into the Democratic Party headquarters and the lies and who was behind it and the Nixon administration, and he's going to be impeached. He gets impeached and resigns and Watergate. Okay. So it's Iran gate and this gate and that gate and whatever, we got the new gate. All right. So that's the new gate. It's going to be Weathergate or something like that, because the National Oceanographic Atmospheric Associate, whatever, weather guys. Okay. They have been fudging the numbers, and it's finally come out that they were liars. They're just, you know, they pick what, yeah, we'll put a thermometer over here, we'll use this one, you know, this one's you know, at the airport and it's a lot hotter than, you know, north of wherever, and we'll go ahead and, you know, we'll use this, get a hotter temperature because it's hotter. So yeah, it's on the concrete and the jet engine blowing on the thermometer. I mean, so I'm going, okay, so they're starting to find out, yeah, they were, you know, misrepresenting what the real actual numbers are, because around the globe they're going, man, we got record ice pack on in the Arctic now. We have temperatures are starting to go down. The solar activity, the sunspots are reducing. We're going into a mini ice age, man. This is going to start getting cold. I went through this as a young man. God, I wasn't even a young man. I was a kid in the early 70s. We were all going to die from ice age. all this climate change thing was we were going to freeze. Now it's all we're going to... The science has been settled, and the policies must be and give us all the power of we're going to currency backed by energy, and it's ours now in carbon credit, and yeah, it sucks to be you. So I'm going, yeah, all these big, giant decisions made on information that they made up. So where's that going to go? I don't know, but that's, you know, mind-blowing temperature fraud. The measured U.S. temperature data from United States HCN, where that is, shows that the U.S. is on a long-term cooling trend, but the reported temperatures from NOAA showing a strong warming trend. So it was just a lie. I'm so shocked. Okay. Now, Earth heading for a mini ice age within 15 years. They said fluid moments within the sun, which are thought to create 11-year cycles in the weather, will converge in such a way that temperatures will fall dramatically in the 2030s. Solar activity will fall by 60% as two waves of fluid effectively canceled each other out, according to Professor blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there's so now we're all going to die from being frozen 2030s. You should probably buy some land in Arizona. So this is, and what they're showing is Bobby's, English police skating on the Thames. Because the Thames in, near London used to freeze over. They had winter festivals. Well, it doesn't freeze in the winter anymore. Why? Because it doesn't get that cold. Well, it's going to start getting cold. You're going to see this stuff. We have history and paintings and so on of these winter festivals in Northern America and England, that these rivers and such don't freeze anymore. Well, they did. Why? You know, what was going on? Because somebody had too many campfires or something. You know, what's happening? So now what are they talking about? They want to whiten the cloud. They want to do weather control, geoengineering. We need to go, that's not even what you need to do. You know, I don't trust you guys to tell me what I need to do anyway. How about you just leave the weather alone for, you know, Mother Nature and the Earth bite your butt back? That's what's going to happen. You just leave it alone. All right. U.S. economic consumer confidence plunges to 10-month lows as hope crashes. There's that. Then you have German Economic Council backs exit for uncooperative Eurozone members. Now more than ever, the world is raising serious concerns about the long-term viability of the EMU. The crisis in Greece and the deep divisions between Athens and its creditors regarding the viability of fiscal adjustments have laid bare the currency's bloc weaknesses and have underscored the difficulties inherent in managing a common currency in the absence of political and fiscal unity. So what does this mean? They're going, you know, the reason the euro is not working the way we wanted to is because we're not the United States of Europe. We need to have a federalized top parliament of we rule you all over and we're all one. Now, the difference is that's why a lot of them, they want everybody's second language to be the same, which is, winds up being English. So in the European Union, everybody's speaking English, and they're trying to, you know, give a common language to make this even possible. Because they tried to do this before. It was called the Tower of Babel. He's babbling on. What does that mean? That means they confused the tongues. You know, all these people came together. Yeah, you know, and you all got different languages now. Now how are you going to do it? Well, man comes in and says, "Hey, we'll make it all one language, and then we can all come together." All right. Well, we'll see. Reservations about the experiment recently caused the likes of Poland and the Czech Republic to express their reluctance to adopt the common currency, with Polish Central Bank Chief Marek Belka hilariously characterizing the EMU as a burning building. Hilariously. Oh, that's so funny. Ha, 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 burning building. You shouldn't rush when there is still smoke coming out of a house that is burning. It is simply not safe to do so. As long as the Eurozone has problems with some of its own members, don't expect us to be enthusiastic about joining. Indeed. Okay, so the European Union experiment thing is, it's just, you know, it's how we can spend all your money and make your kids pay for it. I mean, you know, same old, same old, same old. We're learning our lesson. And we're not. U.S. escalation, a no-fly zone in Syria. Now, we have several, there's at least three articles and commentary done by Dr. Ron Paul. He's on the front page today, over the last few days, we've been following this. And whatever Ron has something to say about foreign policy and such, what does Ron have to say? Because you're talking about Syria still going on. Do we have a no-fly zone and we're doing how we're going to march to whatever Syria, here it comes. And a big reason is because Syria is just not in the club. They don't, they're not part of the central banking system. They're not part of, they don't have debt to the IMF. People there are not, you know, our slaves. It's either Assad's slaves, he's a bad tyrant of slaves, and they're just pissed that they're not making money for Western banks. You know, there's oil pipelines and what's, it's just Syria's just being pain in the butt. It's just, you know, the Middle East has got a push pin in it, and it's Syria, and damn it, they want to go do something. They can't, leaving them alone is not an option. So Dr. Paul has something to say about that. When it comes to foreign policy, you certainly want to hear what he has to say. He also commented on Wesley Clark's notion of internment camps for those not, you know, loyal to America. You didn't pass your America test. So I'm okay. So whatever Ron has to say, you should at least read it. Scientists worry about arms race and artificial intelligence. This is going to be a thing. Anybody that kind of, you know, imagination can think forward, and you got enormous capabilities with people with enormous resources, and you got enormously, you know, like capabilities that are resourced, you know what I mean? And the capability of artificial intelligence and robotics, here they come. This is, we were talking about this Monday, is that there's battle bots. The Japanese came up with this big Megatron kind of suitsy, whatever, go kick your butt machine. And they're going, okay, well, we got a U.S. machine, and we got a bot, you got a bot, we got to bot it up. So a year from now, they're going to be duking it out. Here it comes. They've done movies about this, you know, the sci-fi, now it's real. And when you got Omnicorp coming after you, then what?
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Because there's a lot of just good news that we selected for Freedom's Phoenix today. And I just want to make, I care. You know, I don't care what, you know, some people say about it, or they, them, those have no credibility, and they're spending the not the news, it's the olds, into whatever they want me to think about it. So if we go over it a little bit and talk to people that know what's what, we'll see. Like Paul. You know, we go, Paul Rosenberg, Freeman's Perspective, and he wrote an article, War Isn't Actually Pointless. Really? Well, the point that he was making, you read this, it's a really good article, and the point that he's making, yeah, maybe pointless for the poor slob that's out there and has to die, you know, to serve an empire or whatever, but the rulers, man, they're just limiting competition. They're consolidating power. They're doing just fine, you know? So I'm going, okay. So that, you know, explained a lot. I would encourage you to read that. Now, where we stopped off at was scientists worry about arms race and artificial intelligence. Now, this is, you know, Stephen Hawking and Steve Wozniak from Apple and, you know, Elon Musk and, you know, I think Noam Chomsky. I mean, a lot of prominent individuals coming up and saying, look, man, this is autonomous killing robots of we plugged in the name and the plane go lay waste to whatever. Not good. Not good, wouldn't be good. Scientists and tech experts, including Stephen Hawking and Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, are warning of a global arms race with weapons using artificial intelligence. In an open letter Tuesday with hundreds of signatories, the experts argue that if any major military power pushes ahead with development of autonomous weapons, a global arms race is virtually inevitable, and the end point of this technological trajectory is obvious. Autonomous weapons will become the Kalashnikovs of tomorrow, the AK-47. So I'm going, yeah, well, can I buy one? Can I have a security of, oh, I'm sorry, you know, Rosie the Robot comes to the front door and says, let me see your warrant. None allowed. See, that's the one thing. It never is where we could have it. You know, you got an 18-year-old doing a Glock on a drone firing, you know, 3 feet off the ground. And, man, they want to explain it to him. And it's just, it doesn't matter. They're the, you know, this is, I wonder if this will come up. Let's try this. Okay. Professional Russian. I am professional Russian. Professional Russian. Yeah, it looks like I put an extra character in there. Okay, professional Russian. And then what would it be? It'd be armed drone. Now, this was, God, years ago they had this up. But it was a really interesting, yeah, here it is. Prototype quadcopter with a freaking machine gun. So I'm going, okay, we'll go ahead and take a look at the commercial run. YouTube. So we'll go ahead and let the, and that's one thing. All this goes away when you go into the new network that we're supporting. I'm really looking forward to that. Okay, how long is it? It's 5 minutes. How much time do we got? Well, let's go ahead and we'll just play, you know, I'll get kind of in the middle of it here and we'll just skip through the crap. And here we go. Now, it has a quadcopter with an automatic weapon underneath it. And he's going, hey, man.
It's like we've got some lost and confused visitors over there. Let's take a closer look.
Now, it goes up to a hill. It has some mannequins up there. You see it in the viewfinder.
No, I don't think I recognize any of those guys. Let's take them out.
And here we go. From a drone. Now, what was interesting about this is that it was not real. I mean, they had done it and set it up and made it look cool and all that kind of stuff. But it was, they say it looks real to me, but I mean, they say it was
awesome. Look at the guy's head rolling down the hill.
There's computer graphics doing this. Now, of course, there was another guy that was special. Now they're going up to a building.
Now let's try putting her in a situation she's well suited for. Sneaking up on some evil beaches. And hard to reach places.
Yeah, man. Taking care of their meal, card game through the window, kind of whatever. See, this is one thing that is, whether this was actually done or not, you knew it could be. And in fact, a kid did it. And then, and they arrested him for failing to cooperate with, and he just said, you know, and we're done here, and I'm leaving, and you're arrested because you're not kissing her butt enough. So we got to find out what happened to that kid. Donna, make a note to see if we can get the guy that did the handgun on the drone on the show. That would be awesome. Let's go ahead and talk to him. And he's a student that just like, you know, no. But this is, the point that I'm making with this is that this was something that they knew was going to be controversial. And in fact, the guy that did this YouTube channel promoting a lot of different things, he was killed in his office. Somebody just shot him in the head, I think. And so that's a controversy. This guy here is just the actor. But I was told that this is all CG and it wasn't real. I mean, you can see, I mean, it's real. I doubt it was actually shooting, but it was just showed what can come. Now, if you can imagine it, you can do it. And they're starting to do it. So what do they want? They want them to be able to do it. We're not allowed. We can't have this. You know, why? Cause you're not, you know, but those can, but I can't. That's where I draw the line. If government can have that, you must see them as an individual, because if they're not an individual, then they, where's the liability? You know, the same thing that would be illegal for an individual to do has to be illegal for a group of individuals to do. What's so hard about that concept? So where I go with this is I'm just, you know, I already see where the tech is going. And this was done back, when was this? This is a long time ago. This is April of 2012. So April of 2012, they were making fun of Zedek a few years ago. So, and that's, you know, kind of my view on it. All right, there's a lamp. Now they're starting to make electricity that is powered by just salt, you know. Solar Polar has officially been outdone. This innovative lamp designed by Sustainable Alternative Lighting, SALT, a company based out of the Philippines, literally provides hours of light and from just one glass of water and two spoonfuls of salt. All right. So you concentrate a little bit of salt water. I guess you can just, you know, from the ocean, I guess, do it. This lamp has potential to light up millions of homes in areas where families still go without electricity. All right, cool. If I have one, I take it camping with me. We'll be right back.
I was doing my regular 11 o'clock security sweep around the perimeter of my house when I noticed a couple of young people having intercourse in the front seat of a car out in the street. So I ran inside and I grabbed my video camera. As you can imagine, I stood in those bushes for over 20 minutes watching these two degenerates grind against each other, and I'm thinking, this behavior is simply unacceptable. Now, if you think this is an isolated incident, you are dead to rights wrong. I have 36 hours of footage to prove it that I have personally collected from sickos just around my own town. For example, I saw perverts having sex in swimming pools clearly visible from the roofs of adjacent buildings, on boats that anybody could see with a telescope, at night on the beaches where they can easily be watched by anyone hiding behind a fence wearing their night vision goggles. It's simply disgusting.
This is the Onion News Network.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's a documentary done by Neil Young, the singer, that it's on Monsanto. And just play a little clip of the teaser for this, a 10-minute teaser. I don't think this is the whole movie. You know, 10, 11 minutes. But, you know, this is certainly, it's talking about the oldest guy, I guess, you know, probably 80s or so, and he had to go to court in his walker in a lawsuit with Monsanto. They were suing him for saving soybean seeds or something that he's growing. And his son's saying he didn't even grow soy, you know. So and he won, but he was just so beaten by the experience, he thought Monsanto would keep coming into his deathbed. He's afraid of Monsanto. So Neil Young wanted to kind of like, maybe we won't be as afeard. Let's watch this real quick. Wait a minute, turn this off. Let's go ahead and watch this real quick because I want to, you know, kind of get a bead on what the documentary is about. We'll just do a minute or so.
Abiding in his destiny.
Yeah, he died.
It's pretty hard to take your 80-something-year-old father to federal court on a walker when he's falsely accused by a big corporation. Your opposition is a bunch of bunny rabbit lawyers wearing a $1,000 suit, suing a man that went to war for the freedom for some scumbags to misuse.
Monsanto has used heavy-handed investigation and ruthless prosecutions that have fundamentally changed the way many American farmers farm. The result has been nothing less than an assault on the foundation of farming practices and traditions that have endured for millennia, including saving seeds.
Roll time back a little further when the earth was without form and he separated the waters and got him some dry land. I guess you could say God was the first farmer. And the first thing he did was he created grasses, plants, herbs, and trees that would have seed in itself. meaning that it would reproduce next year. My name is Michael White. I live in the rural northeast corner of Alabama. I'm a fourth-generation farmer. My great-grandfather's grist mill was out there, and I've heard my kinfolk say they would be 20 and 30 mules and wagons lined up out there bringing corn to be ground into cornmeal and wheat to be ground into flour. And old corn sheller, that's when you put a ear of corn in there and shelled it by hand. The corn would go in there, the cob would come out here, and the shell corn would fall in there.
So this is a documentary on, you know, the abuses and the uses of Monsanto and these corporations against what they consider their greatest threat is individual farmers being able not only to produce for themselves, but others, because they know who's going to be the Maserati drivers. It's going to be the farmers. Now, that's one thing that Jim Rogers was, you know, going on about a few years ago. He's like, hey, man. You need to be a farmer. You know, I'm going to be a farmer. Well, that's one thing Taryn Lupo, you know, liberty activist, chiropractor, author, now he's doing a bunch of videos. He's you know, having fun doing documentary videos, 10-minute videos, 20-minute videos, you know, hour documentaries on farming, beekeeping, you know, on chickens, farming. He's starting to see that that's where a lot of the attention goes, a lot of traffic. So he's working on that. Neil Young being able to do this and get some attention to this, that's good. I'm glad that. Do you think Monsanto is going to prevail forever? Is this going to be the people just allow this kind of abuse on individuals being able to supply for themselves? It's oftentimes, if you look in the long run, it's always good to have a face to bad guys doing bad stuff. So I don't know. We'll see where this goes. But that's one reason why we've done what we've done. You get it down to micro to where it's you don't need to grow any more than what you need for your family. But it kind of takes away division of labor. Because one of the benefits in the kind of economy and the ability for us to do as well as we have as a species is to divide up people that want to do one thing and other people that want to pay for it because they don't have to do it, you know. But they're forcing you down into where everybody's got to be a farmer because you're not allowed to, you know, make it and sell it unless it's a corporation that gets a government slip from the man. I mean, this is, you're seeing this happen over time, and it's getting worse. So I'm just like, all right, so kudos to him for doing that. So you can go watch the trailer over on Freedom's Phoenix. Hedge funds told Puerto Rico to close schools to pay back its debt. You are probably wondering, how could any organization or financial institute make such ridiculous demands? Well, a group of billionaire hedge fund managers requested that Puerto Rico must lay off teachers and close schools so that they can repay their debt. The distressed debt specialists also known as vulture funds, accused Puerto Rico of spending too much on education. What is more important, a hedge fund losing some money or a country neglecting its youth to pay off its debt? Well, they probably could, you know, close the schools and then they'd actually learn something and they know not to go in debt. I mean, you know, or I pledge allegiance to, the, you know, my granddaughter, we're just talking and she goes, and she, I don't know where she picked it up, but she just said, you know, if I don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, I don't get to go to recess. I have to sit on the bench for recess. And I go, what? Yeah. You know, if I don't say the pledge, I go, and she's five. I go, what's the pledge? You know, I pledge allegiance. And I go, or however she said it. And I go, and pledge, you even know what, you know, who's, what's I? She goes, well, that's me. And I go, okay. What's pledge? I don't know. What's allegiance? I don't know. What's a Republic? I don't know. The United States? I don't know. I mean, they're not going to tell them. You know, it's just, you know, you know, it's like a wah, 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 wah. It's like I'm watching a Charlie Brown cartoon. You know, and the teacher, wah, 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 wah. You know, I'm just going, wow. So this is a buildup, and I'm not having to press this. She's starting to see the crap, and she's so smart. Way smarter than, you know, I'd anticipate to have a five-year-old. I mean, we treat her like an adult, give her some, you know, bigger concepts, and then all of a sudden she starts to see the world, you know, as what it is. You know, they're just trying to turn her into a slave. So I'm just going, Yep. The same thing going on in Puerto Rico. You know, they, I hedge fund guys would be, maybe they, you know, sow the seeds of their own destruction when they start doing away with the mandatory youth indoctrination camps of, yeah, you're a slave that needs to pay off all this debt. What happens when they don't have that indoctrination camp anymore? Then they start seeing they got paid this debt, and they're going, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. It's not my debt, you know. So we'll see what happens there. But of course, it doesn't surprise me. Housing recovery, really? Case-Shiller home prices tumble most in 10 months. So this, there's a bunch of reports on this. 6.8% lower in new house sales. I mean, there's a lot of signs. I've gone through this before, and my youngest daughter is now, they're doing really well. Her and Georgie and baby Jude are got some money saved up. They're ready to put down on a house. They're ready to go. Mom, well, let's go this last week. And Sunday, we went and looked at a bunch of houses. You know, they kind of got an idea. I'm going, you know, these houses are going to be $30,000 at least less a year from now. So I'm just like, why? Yeah, but the interest rates are low now, and we're going to this, and we can't, and we want our own house. Damn it, we want to get a. And I'm going, all right. You know, but last time, a wave of our kids, the three others, when they bought homes, was when they were low. You know, one of them kind of got it on the way up. But, you know, they got really good. They like almost, God, I mean, one was. They probably made in a couple of years $20,000-$30,000 that then they put down on the next one. Got a better and a bigger, and it was a low price, and they're doing okay. They got some equity, and I don't want her to get into a situation to where I know the price. Just like I told the other ones, I said, "Look, man, your older, you know, brothers and sister, they don't make the same. Just wait a little bit, rent a year, go nuts." So this is the battle that's going on. I know what's going to happen. I had the same discussion with the other guys, and we were able to kind of hold them off just long enough. They got it on the downswing.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Song we sing, fears we will die. You can make mountains ring or make angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, and you
talking about, you know, pledging and getting punished and being on the bench for not doing what the state wants you to at 5 years freaking old. Take a look at this. 3-year-old London child deemed extremist, placed it in government re-education program. The United Kingdom, and the graphic that we chose is this, you know, 3-year-old, or if three, you know, riding a tricycle wearing a burqa. I mean, it's like, you know, you terrorists. The United Kingdom has gone batshit crazy. There is simply no other way to put it. I warned about Britain's war on toddler terrorists earlier this year in the Post. And this is Tyler Durden from Zero Hedge. The war on toddler terrorists. Britain wants to force nursery school teachers to identify extremist children. Here's an excerpt. Nursery school staff and registered child minders must report toddlers at risk of becoming terrorists under counterterrorism measures proposed by the government. The directive is contained in a 39-page consultation document issued by the Home Office in a bid to bolster its Prevent Anti-Terrorism Plan. The document accompanies the Counterterrorism and Security Bill currently before Parliament. It identifies nurseries and early years child care providers, along with schools and universities, as having a duty to prevent people being drawn into terrorism. And it starts at 3. You can't make this stuff up. This is the mindset. They're going to be, I remember there was one episode of the old Star Trek that they were talking about crime this and crime that, and it was about where they had a penal colony, facility where they went and they used mind-numbing blank and suggestive whatever the heck to try and rehabilitate the truly criminally insane kind of thing that they, out of all the Federation, they had like a dozen guys that just couldn't get with the program, and they were going, We solved crime once we understood the roots of it. And he kind of let it go off at that. Well, how do you do that? I don't know. But that's, that's been kind of the mantra of government is like, wow, man, we got to determine, one, define what crime is and try and, stop it or turn the dial. We got a number and we've got a switch to, the flip, a button to push or a dial to turn that's going to do this. If we deem these certain activities crimes, well, there's evidence of those crimes when they started when there are three. There are three in preschool and the government schools, there are three. And I'm going, yeah. And what's some of that punishment? Sit on the bench. You don't get to go to recess because you didn't say the pledge right. 5 years old. My granddaughter. How long do you think that's going to go without, having some input? Well, it's already, my daughter-in-law, she's not political, but she's getting to where she's starting to see, just look at the taxes being taken out of her husband's paycheck. And I go, you see how much of a slave you are. So they're just kind of, she's starting to get, she's got a mother defense. She's pregnant with her fourth child, Colton. Colton James, I think is the name they're going to use. Colton. Corsair and Colton, the two boys. That's going to be awesome. And Kaylee and Tatum, the girls. So two boys, two girls. That's what we wound up with in a little bit different order. But, they're ecstatic. So they're, and she's getting a little bit more defensive. She's, old father-in-law is not as crazy as she thought. And she's like, yeah, we're going to talk to them about that. I just want to know. I'm not going to change anything. I just want to know. If she doesn't say the Pledge of Allegiance, she doesn't get a reset. I just want to know. Help me out with this. That'll be an interesting conversation. The cute little Laura does that. That's going to be dang. She's a beautiful, petite blonde, unassuming, just comes up and, yes, sweetness, what would you like to know? The recess thing? That's what I thought. Well, we can do a positive light. What we got here? A friend of mine said that he lives here in the Valley in Scottsdale, and he just said, look, man, this is the stuff you're on. He was interested in put this bad boy up. Impossible. Impossible? Impossible, maybe. Rocket drive works and could get to moon in 4 hours. Interplanetary travel could be a step closer after scientists confirmed that electromagnetic propulsion drive, which is fast enough to get to the moon in 4 hours, actually works. The EM drive was developed by the British inventor Roger Shawyer nearly 15 years ago, but was ridiculed at the time as being scientifically impossible. It produces thrust by using solar power to generate multiple microwaves that move back and forth in an enclosed chamber. This means that until something fails or wears out, theoretically, the engine could keep running forever without the need for rocket fuel. The drive, which has been likened to Star Trek's impulse drive, has left scientists scratching their heads because it defies one of the fundamental concepts of physics, the conservation of momentum, which states that if something is propelled forward, something must be pushed in the opposite direction. So the forces inside the chamber should cancel each other out. As I scanned over it, what they're talking about is it not necessarily it's microwaves that, you know, in they're countering each other. They're not in sync, and they're going back and forth, you know, like left to right instead of up and down, and it creates a field that goes out the nozzle of kind of, I don't know, all right? So they're going, now, yeah, well, it shouldn't work. It seems like it's working, but we got to find out why it's working, damn it. You know, and people aren't supposed to be able to do this, because then they'll go on the dark side of the moon and see Nazis on the dark side of the moon, or U.S. government, same thing. So, yeah, I'm just going, you know, this is interesting. So I just want to make sure you guys, yeah, this is how you find out about this stuff. I can't even keep track over 10 years. I can't even keep track of how many times we've showed you this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, 2-3 years later, it's like common knowledge. And some of you, the readers on Freedom's Phoenix, go, hey, I knew that. I saw that. So what do we do? Oh, I got to show you. Those of you watching the video, on Freedom's Phoenix, we have at the top of the front page, I take and put a lot of these kind of science articles up there. And you'll see the top six, these little bitty stories right here. Now, if we were to zoom in on those, now what this does is it puts at the top some interesting things that I think is, you know, cool. And it has impossible rocket drive works and could get to the moon in 4 hours. So that one's up there. Voyager's golden record for aliens now available on SoundCloud. What had happened, a lot of people don't know, when I was a kid, they took Voyager, it was even featured in one of the Star Treks. It was the first deep space probe that went out, and it just left the solar system. I mean, it took decades to get out there, and it just left the solar system not too long ago. And on there, Carl Sagan, you know, is pimping this. They put a gold record on, so because it doesn't, you know, degrade and, you know, cosmic, whatever, it lasts a long time. So they have this gold record. Now, the data, how they, I guess they did grooves on it or something, you know, play it like a record, because how else are you going to record, you know, data? I guess it gets ones and zeros into something. So they have this gold record. It's on the side of it. It's like, you know, here I am. Hopefully a meteor doesn't hit it. But, you know, here I am. And it had some graphics and pictures of where our Earth. It's like, hey, we're over here. Come get us. You know, I mean, okay, there's an argument against doing that. But they, you know, positive light, you know, hey, we're just going to be positive about it. We're going to, you know, make an invitation. And it has kind of a graphic of a human standing there. And it has some mathematical formulas. And, you know, and then it had a lot of sounds. And it was saying hello in a whole bunch of different languages. They had some different music on there. They had, you know, this kind of a message, you know, to the cosmos. It was kind of a message in a bottle. In a really, really, really big ocean. Okay. So they send that out, and then it might come up on, you know, some alien life form's radar screen of, hey, thanks for the map. So they finally, you know, had it to where it was kind of available, but it was in individual tracks, and you kind of, it was a pain in the butt. So finally they put it on an hours long album that you could just sit there and listen to what message we sent out to the cosmos. It only took 40-something years. I mean, what's your problem? I mean, they did it. It was a government program. So I'm going, okay, so we got that going for us. Then we have Japan fires the world's most powerful laser. They just did that. So we got that going for us. This is why Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2 crashed. It was a pilot, co-pilot error. He flipped the switch at the wrong time, and they got their wrist slapped saying, yeah, we shouldn't have had the switch where it could be flipped at the wrong time. So they fixed that, and now they got a clean bill of health, and they're going into the next spaceship to craft. Then you have some other cool stuff on there. We'll go over a little bit tomorrow. Brian and all.
Gourmet chef Ted Allen is here. He's the author of the new cookbook, Pretentious Foodie Bullshit, and he's going to show us how to cook some fussy little foodie dishes for you and all your asshole friends. Welcome back to the show, Ted. What sort of stupid, over-elaborate, fancy-ass meal are you going to make for us today?
We're going to cook one of the very most pretentious dishes in my cookbook.
Oh.
It's a stupid, trendy piece of fish coated in some kind of nut you've never heard of, served alongside a puree of baby something or other.
Oh, great. That sounds annoying.
Let's get started.
Okay, have at it.
First, it's very important to choose the most expensive type of fish you can find for some vague environmental reason that you can then pair it back to your faux intellectual gaywad dinner party guests.
Okay.
And now I assume all these other ingredients are organic and locally sourced and all that bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Now, what about the pureed baby turnips, Ted?
Ah, you must blanch them for 30 seconds, then you shock them in an ice bath. Peel them, then boil them again with a little sugar, thyme, and a pinch of salt.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we may not be afraid, but man, a break sometimes. I need a break. We're going to get a break. Let's get a break. Let's go over what we need a break from. We got Brian, you know, waiting for us. He's on the line. I said, yo, let me do this real quick because I wanted to finish it up. Okay, real fast. Los Angeles passed a major gun control law. Just yesterday, it goes in and it's high capacity magazine thing. They were like, yeah, nope, not allowed. You must turn them in or you'd be in violation of the law. What are they looking for? They want to have a lawsuit of we got a political and we're going that we'll in the news. I mean, all right, here we go. We have that going for us. Then we have university professor says Ebola is a genetically modified lab-made virus. Now, I've heard this before, a presentation by a doctor that was going on about viruses. You even look at JFK, the movie, the Joe Pesci character had cancer. Remember, he was wearing a toupee, he was bald, and in there was rats. Well, what they were doing was a study. It was a girl that in high school was able to do an experiment. This is in the late 50s, early 60s in Florida. She was able to give cancer to rats. Well, all of a sudden, she got her education paid for. She worked for the CDC or whatever government agency of we making cancer. So all this vaccination stuff and everything, they're claiming that it was intentional to give people illnesses that then the pharmaceutical industry and we make a bunch of money. They wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. Well, go look up, you know, Ebola, genetically modified. We just need to give them AIDS and all this other stuff. They did. Yeah, we got that going for us. Okay, Italy's finance minister joins United States of Europe parade. Well, it's because of their finances. Italy's been, or like Greece and then Italy and then Spain. I mean, you know, France. I mean, this, it's falling apart. So here they're going, yeah, well, we'll save it if we be United States of Europe. Yeah, that'd be an interesting article for you to look at. Turkey conflict with Kurds. When they drew these lines in Syria, Iran, Iraq, and now as a World War One map makers, cartographers of French and British and maybe a little American influence of here's the line and this tribe goes and you're part of and get over it. Well, Kurdistan or the Kurds have their own culture and tribe and language and everything, and they got divided up amongst about four different countries. Let's see, we have Armenia, Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and it kind of overlaps all, what was that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 countries, and they're like, what? So Turkey says, hey, we got incursions, man. We got this Kurdish thing. You're arming them to defend against the Iraqi, telling them what to do, and now they're like, you know, giving us a problem. We got to go NATO invade them or push them out of our or something. You know, all right, so we got that. You know, that's the next brewing of excuse to go to war. Oh, here's that gold plate, the record that went on Voyager. You know, we'll talk about that in the future. I want to do a thing on that. Okay, feel the fear. Now's the time. Fear rises as financial markets all over the planet start to crash. Can you feel the panic in the air? This weekend, I put up something. I go, can you feel it? And I put up some graphs and some Dow and this and kind of so on. I said, man, this is like a graphic I use is from the movie with George Clooney, Perfect Storm, with a fishing boat going up, you know, this freaking 10-story wall of water, and you know what's going to happen. I mean, I said, can you feel it? Well, CNN's Money's Fear and Greed Index measures the amount of fear in the financial world on a scale from 0 to 100. The closer it is to 0, the higher the level of fear. Last Monday, the index was sitting at reading 36. As I write this article, it's fallen to 7. So this is just, you know, this is psychology of fear and worried about and what's behind it. It's because there's like stuff going to happen. So, FYI. Warren Buffett and Elon Musk to spark a lithium boom. Come to find out that there's a big lithium mines in Nevada. So, being able to transport the lithium from one place to another, you know, that's good. They don't have to go to China if they don't want to. So, that's an interesting article. The Bolt M1 finds a home between electric motorcycle and moped and bicycle. I thought this was, there's a lot of different electric bicycles coming online now and even electric motorcycles. But this is kind of in its own little category. You have a legal, I'm a moped bicycle kind of law setting for going on the streets in California. And then you have, well, it's an off-road, flip the switch, you know, cross-country road super setting, which is not legal on the highway. Will there be a sensor? Will the cop go, I can tell you, you flipped the wrong, you went turbo switch, you're not allowed. And so anyway, so I thought that was interesting. Think. THYNC, review on Think, where we just say yes to a drug-like brain-zapping wearable. I know Brian's sitting there going, what? 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 Yep, it's just a electromagnetic emitter that you put on your head in different places. You sit there and you dial on your smartphone. You know, I need, that was good. And we're going to be rats in the maze, man. We're just going, I got a little mini orgasm. You know, you just keep clicking your smart. You think you're down, head down in your smartphone now. Wait till you start, you know, stimulating your brain. You know, that, you know, gaming and porn just take on a whole new meaning. Know what I mean? Yep. Yeah, we'll do some more on that. That's going to be of interest. Caught on tape. The moment a diver discovers $1 million in gold from a 300-year-old Spanish shipwreck. Now, this article is kind of cool. A guy's out there, they're following. They've been searching for an armada that sunk in a big hurricane, a storm off the coast of Florida back 300 years ago, a Spanish whatever. And boom, and he goes, what? Shit. He's got a metal detector, and he's sitting there, and he's got a mask that you can talk, and you hear him going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, as he's pulling up all his gold. He's like, oh, yeah, baby, we win. Well, you know, that's on a good note. So now, to get away from all this and just take a freak, we may not be afraid, but, man, can we just take a freaking break? Brian, you taking a break up there, man?
Yes, I'm standing here and looking at the gorgeous meadow, and it's probably about maybe 70 degrees.
It's, you know, we're still early in the morning there. It's 8-something, 8:10 here in the valley. So you're, does it get kind of chilly at night still? You get need the campfire?
Yeah. It's like 50s and like high 50s at night, so it's gorgeous.
This is, what about, you know, this time of year, the reason, one of the reasons we do it is the monsoon is in, so it's usually afternoon showers, so there's no real chance of any kind of forest fire or anything, so there's no, you can't burn it warnings or any of that because everything's wet, but it rains for like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, half hour or something, and the Baca Meadow is just this fine sand that's just, and 5 minutes later, you don't even know it rained. You know, so it's no mud and that kind of stuff. And you may see his sand kind of dirt, but it's really fine and it's clean. And what was the condition of the Baca Meadow there when you guys got there? Is it in good shape?
Yes, it's dry and very green. And it poured pretty good yesterday. I got a good panoramic view. It's on the website. So
website? What website?
Sorry, the Facebook page.
What Facebook page?
Jackalope Freedom Festival Love Non-Event.
Okay, Jackalope Freedom Festival, love, non-event. Well, you just go Facebook, Jackalope Freedom Festival, I'm sure it'll come up, and you're starting to already post some pictures up. That's good. Well, we got some pictures from the last few years kind of, you know, rotating up here, so you can see they have a good time. Are any children starting to come up yet?
Oh, yeah. There's more kids than adults right now.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it's going. Has anybody got some pimped-out, cool rig that they're already starting to set up?
Yes, Greg brought 1,000 watts of rollout solar panels and about 9 batteries, so we've got power.
Awesome! I'm so glad. I wonder, you know, I got some rollout panels. You know what? He's got, well, he probably doesn't need any more then. That's like four big panels worth there, or, you know, five or so. So that's good. That's good. We were thinking we got a little solar thing. I think we're going to go ahead and bring one of our mini solar things. Well, we have a couple of little camping ones, but I mean, you know, a little Harbor Freight, $150, kind of got a unit, get a marine battery that we just, so we can have just because. Because I got the big, do I need to bring the big generator, you think? No?
Yes, the answer is always yes.
Yes, big generator. Well, hopefully we can get away with not having to run the generator as we're up there in a nice forest. And I'd like to get an electric ATV.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Let's go ahead and just, you know, we're going to Jackalope. We're kind of, you know, to solve the planet's problems there. I know a friend of ours, Dean, is going to be going up, and he spent a lot of time yesterday working on the social networking and so on and getting things. I know he's going to start asking. I said, you need to do this today, you know, yesterday and today, so that when he goes up there, a lot of the people up there know about this stuff. Like Alma, you know, is hip to a lot of this, and we can, you know, you're going to have internet access. You might as well learn something now so we can talk about it. There's a lot of stuff that's coming that we're going to talk about, because a lot of the activism we're going to talk about, and a lot of it is just getting ready for the next year's Jackalope, which is kind of a bug-out, shakedown, kind of just dry camping of we got nothing. Is the infrastructure starting? Is Sean Dean going? Do you know, Brian?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's going, and he's going to bring his big, long trailer, and he'll be doing his midnight munchies thing.
You know, that's one thing he does a really good job. He's kind of expanded from the Jackalope. I mean, he saw a need. There's, you know, 100 and whatever people there, or 200, however many hundreds, you know, wind up this year. And being able to feed them, they had, like, a long line. So then they started increasing their capacity and, you know, more burners and propane and help and, you know, his mom and brother and friends, and they'd go, you know, do it up. Then they also had solar heated water for heated showers, and they did solar power also. So now, Greg, and I just pulled out this, you know, I've had it for a year. I got it for the kids' playhouse, so them to charge their little electric car, you know, their little Gator, John Deere, whatever the heck it is. And so we're going to take that unit with us. And it just needs a battery storage. We're going to get one of the batteries that we need for doing the studio offline. I might as well start buying. I'll buy one of them, you know, just what the heck. And then so we'll be powered up there, solar. And well, to bring the generator in case we need more big power. But it really has been, over the years, starting to go towards solar because it's quieter and oftentimes it's a lot lighter. And it provides what we really need there. I mean, you don't really need air conditioning or anything, so having a couple of solar panels is really good for part of your bug-out kit. Is that what you're finding out?
Oh, yeah.
Well, have you guys got any solar? And your guys up in Concho up there, tell us about your move up there.
Yeah, we're just living up there off the grid and got our own well. Well, it's a friend of ours. He'll be here, too, and he'll be cooking and smoking all kinds of delicious meat and pork for everyone. So.
Okay, so we're not going to be starving.
No.
Okay, so we brought enough to have. Donna's like, well, what do you want to bring? I go, well, I don't know. What's up there? Can't we just bring silver? So what do we got? How many meals are you going to set us up for, Donna?
Every meal. I mean, we'll have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but we're not doing bacon and eggs every day. I told you that.
Are we doing it any day?
Yeah, we'll probably do it like 2 days. I have bacon. And
yeah, I saw you got two boxes of grits. Seriously? Are you thinking we're going to go through that much grits?
No, but there's not... No, I may just take one. I would like one to have here, but I mean, it actually doesn't make that much when you think about it. I have these.
We'll be the grit supplier.
I know we don't eat a lot of bread, but I found these. They're thin bagels. I've actually never seen them, and I know you like bagels and stuff. So
really?
Yeah, you want me to get them? I've never seen them.
Yeah, go get
them.
I want to see.
Okay.
The thin, I like bagels, but it's just so much carbs. It's so heavy. I'm like, I haven't ate a bagel in months. I mean, I'm just like, it's just not worth it. When she gets some thin bagels, man, well, that'd be cool. You know, everything is all about going big. Now we need to go small. What's some of the other foods you think will be up there?
Oh, my friend Greg, he brought 30 pounds of his cow that he had butchered in his deep freezer still. And rabbit and quail and, fry bread.
Oh, yeah, fry bread. Well, that's one thing that, Sean Dean, he did. We went up to the Arizona Freedom Fest, and he was doing hamburgers, and hot dogs and all kinds of stuff. Donna and I thought of bringing here, I'll show you this bagel. That's a thin bagel. Is that bagel? They call it a bagel. Okay. I guess you can call it whatever you want. Okay, so we got, that's good. I'm thinking I want one of these toasted with some, and your fig jam. Yeah, Donna's going to go do it. We have a fig tree out here, and her and the kids and friends and everything, they're making, turning the figs in the jam, but you have to do it on a regular basis because you get like enough to make like 6 jars about every, 5 or 6 days. And if you wait, one day more, when they first hit ripeness, the birds get them all. So I'm going, no, they're mine. And this year we actually, trying to beat the birds, so we're getting some fresh fig jam. We'll probably bring a bunch up there. One thing at Jackalope, there was a gentleman that you guys know that brought a bunch of natural, he did it honey. Is that guy going to be up there?
No. Almost says no.
No. Well, dang it. I need some honey. Damn it. Okay, so... the other thing, what do you think of this? We have a massage table, and I was thinking of just bringing a massage table and charging for people to use the table. I go, you can get somebody to give you a massage? Well, heck, I'm renting out my table,
Hey, so if you guys are going to sell jam and stuff and bagels and that sort of thing, you could set up next to Restaurant Row, because there's going to be a Restaurant Row there.
A Restaurant Row! It sounds like some freaking, organizing to me. Are you organizing where people go? Is that it?
No part of this. Huh? I have no part of any of this organizing anything. I'm special agent, not in charge.
Okay, I just wanted to see if there's a Restaurant Row that thou shalt must be here, or is it a suggestion or an opportunity, or is it a regulation requirement?
Seriously, no joke. I was given caution tape to mark off people's areas before they got here. And I was like, what kind of status, is this?
Who did that?
Oh, people that come here every year. And I'm like, what's going on, man? You guys, claiming your area before you get there? First come, first serve. It's always been that way. That's how it's always going to be.
Oh, they wanted you to kind of save them a spot.
Designate areas. I'm like, no, I don't think so. But, we'll take your tape.
Well, I mean, it's kind of reserved. Put a little sign there. This is reserved for, or somebody hopes to get this, or you might have to get into a gunfight with them if you take this and they wanted it, or something like that. I mean, just be nice. But there's a lot of unique little areas there that you can have. Where are you thinking Restaurant Row? Where's that? Where the main campfire is?
I think where the roundabout circle area is, so just a little bit further from where the main area usually is. And
you mean down where Sean Dean was last year?
I mean where we are and where he was, yeah.
Okay. So this is there, it's in different area. It's on different elevation. I mean, it kind of goes down a little bit and up. There's so much, but it's a forest. We could take thousands of people there. We went looking around. You could just go. That's one thing I think I might do this year. I'm thinking of running down, and well, I can print it off the internet, but I know I go to Wide World of Maps here, and they'll have the topographical, super detailed of whatever in a map form. I got a little map thing I can put it in, and we could go ahead and take hikes. And I'm just wondering, you know, the people, somebody that's either not 9 months pregnant or have 15 gazillion kids, or I mean, I might want to do a 10-mile hike thing and just go and take the 22 and just, you know, go exploring, because we've done that a little bit. Alma and I did on the ATV one time, and I'm going, wow, there's so much that kind of connected in there in the little road system. You could have hundreds, if not thousands, of people. It's a forest.
There's trails. There's hiking trails on the other end.
And is there a permit?
Nope.
No permits. We'll be right back with Brian Alma, already up at Jackalope a little early, and we come back.
If worst comes to worst, will you be prepared? You don't have to be a survivalist to prepare for the unexpected. Storing necessary supplies like food, water, and emergency equipment is simply taking responsibility for ourselves and our families when it counts the most. StrategicShelters.com offers emergency supplies and a secure way to store them, and provides protection for loved ones in the event of an extreme natural or man-made disaster. To find out more, visit strategicshelters.com.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I'm sitting here looking at the solar thing here, and I'm going, okay, what does this have? Well, I need to get a battery for it, you know, and we have an inverter, and it has a little inverter thing that, you know, plug in the lights, and it comes with actual lights. And I go, oh, okay, well, that's cool. I already got the light thing taken care of, and the battery thing, how long does it work? Well, one fully charged battery, it'll be 34 hours to run a computer, you know, it's like 80 hours for this, you know, so many hours for that, it's enough, okay? So I'm going, what do I need the battery for? I mean, the big thing is probably the PA system that I'll be bringing. So the PA system, I don't think, so the solar panel, how many batteries does your friend have, Brian?
9 batteries.
9? Well, is he going to charge, you know what? I got a little, let me show you, I'll put this up for the audience. This right here, for $13, you get it on eBay, and you plug it into an electrical cord coming out, let's say, from his unit, his batteries, and then you have another cord that goes to a campsite, and it measures how much electricity you can charge. I'm going to bring this. You know, let's say we put that over here next to the thing. So we have that. You know, he could try. I said, you know what? How about here's your meter, and you just charge, 30 cents a watt. And they go, hey, man, I can get it for 20 cents in the city. I go, yeah, you in the city? So we'll go ahead and bring that. Maybe we'll charge for ours. I go, you can pull off mine. Hey, Ernie, can I? Yeah, absolutely. Here's your meter. So we'll work on that. I'm glad to see that happening. We keep talking about it, and it happened a little bit last year, and it seems like it's going to happen. Do you think, that's going to run the PA system big time. Is he going to have it near the where the stage is?
It already is. It's set up right next to the stage in the meadow.
Have you guys been using the power from it?
Yes.
Awesome. I'm eating Thick Jam Bagel. Yummy.
We have the stage facing the meadow this year, so we'll direct the speakers away from where.
Yeah, get up on the mic, baby. I can hardly hear you.
Oh, I said that we have the stage right by the meadow so that the speakers can now face the meadow, and hopefully the sound will resonate that way.
Okay. Well, I have no opinion. As long as I don't have to be, I can be special agent not in charge. Oh! Friend of ours, Tony Marie, talked to Davi Barker at Pork Fest, and he's, you know, like you had the cop block badges that they did. They're doing special agent not in charge badges that they're creating that we're going to get. I am so freaked.
I already got pins. Done.
pens are not big, giant badges. I want to walk around the jackalope with my badge of special agent, so freaking not in charge. When they bring up, you know, people. I was at Porkfest one time when Gary Johnson was speaking a few years ago, wearing my orange rain slicker thing, and I just looked like a cop, I guess. And this old woman, she was probably in her 60s or 70s. She was there to hear Gary, and she came up, and she wanted to make sure that I knew that she could smell marijuana. And I'm like, hey, wait. Now, this is now, let me explain what the cop block was and the badge and one, and it doesn't matter. You're at Portrest, you know. So that was of interest. So this is, have you gotten a visit by the man at all this time?
Not unless he's undercover. So, oh, I also wanted to tell you that I'm working with Patrick on JackNet, which will be a private internet access that people will be able to access most likely next year.
Well, we did it at Porkfest this year. You need to talk to Derek and Drew. They went ahead and pulled in a microwave signal from the mountains around there and then broadcast it across the campground. And it was promising. It worked pretty well. Their bandwidth was, we couldn't, like, give it to everybody, or it wouldn't work, you know, for the people that mattered, like us, and the ones that paid for it.
This is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be its own network. It's called JackNet, and only the people within the radius of the Wi-Fi emitters will be able to access the net. So
it's not to the internet, it's a mesh network for the people there.
Yes, and people will be able to create their own websites and everything like that.
I'm telling you, this is it. And that's one thing that's interesting about the Jackalope Freedom Festival is because it's dry camping, it's in the forest, it's intentionally with no services. The only thing that we do is Jackalope, the mysterious somebody Jackalope, brings in the porta potties. Now, have they brought up the porta potties yet?
We'll be arriving this morning.
Okay, so when you go up there, because it really is supposed to start today? I mean, it's kind of a today or tomorrow thing. What is today?
Well, yeah, because especially if you're flying, from another place in the country or wherever, you really want to get the most of your experience here, and you only get that if you stay here and camp here for a few days, because that's how you get to spend time with the different liberty activists all over, the world that are doing different projects and, creating different things and creating a free society for the next generation. And this is the place where you get to communicate with those people in a much, more laid back environment than if you were at some kind of conference where they're just a speaker.
Yeah, there's not a schedule. I've had a lot of people, I want to speak, I wanted this, I wanted that. I'm going, well, then go. Yeah, but who's in charge of the list of put me on and I get and everybody's got it and it's scheduled on the agenda? I go, man, it doesn't work that way. You just show up. Pass out your own flyers. It's not my problem. So gentleman that from Denmark that wrote the book Manipulism on how Marxism is being used to take over the planet and how in Europe of whatever. And he came to our pool party last week. And he was, like, blown away. He's like, damn, man, these people, I don't got to convince them of anything. I'm going, yeah, we get it, man. We get it. So he's planning on going up there with his significant that he's met here. And I'm going, okay. So we'll go have some fun and get to do his fireside chat.
Yeah, last year I had a blank sign-up sheet with our increments, and people were able to sign up for the stage. And this year I'm just going to put a whiteboard by the stage because when it rains, anything paper gets ruined.
Yeah, make sure you get right, put your mouth to the microphone. We're losing you.
Oh, okay. I just said that last year I had a blank sign-up sheet for the stage, and it was made of paper, and the rain ruined it. So I'm putting a whiteboard by the stage for people to sign up.
All right, cool. They just kind of reserve, and if they have overlapping, conflicting, running long thing, we just have duels and gunfights and stuff, so we solve it one way or another. Yeah, that's good. Oh, is anybody shooting yet?
No, I have not heard any shooting yet, but I...
That will happen as soon as I get up there tomorrow. the one thing that I really enjoy, I like taking my 1022, just going up there and relaxing. I just, you know, Donna, I'm going shooting. So I'll just take the ATV or walk up, you know, top of the hill over there and go and just find a nice place, you know, to kind of find the same place, you know, that we go. It's, you know, the trees are just the right way. And we go up there and just sight it in and then plank and have some fun and hang out and, you know, and just relax. And I'm just thinking, this, I'm really looking forward to it every year. Now, Pork Fest is a different, because, one, we're not there, so we got, it's a big traveling thing and all that. This, it takes me less time to drive to Jackalope than it does to fly to Pork Fest. And we go up there, and whatever I want, I bring, and a little extra to share with everybody, and everybody does that. So, like, Sunday is when we bring all the food, and we just, whatever's not cooked, and we just do it up in big, giant thing. So, the potluck going to happen this year, too?
Oh, yeah. It's now a ritual.
Yeah, no, I think that was a good idea. We had a lot of fun. That was just everybody came together. And maybe we might do that more, but if we did, then you wouldn't have the incentive for the restaurants to supply stuff, you know, for sale. And there's a lot of people, they put a lot of work in to make sure everybody gets fed.
Well, some people are accepting purely donations, and some people will probably have suggested donations.
Suggested donations for food. Why is that? Because of the man. Now we already preempt the man. Don't worry about it. All right. More on Jackalope and some of the things you can expect. Yeah, I tell you what you can really expect. Whole bunch of kids. That's what you expect. We'll be right back here in just a little bit.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Going to be anybody's a beast of burden. That's definitely, you know, it's yeah, everybody, you know, pitches in and they supply and they share and so on, but it's you know, it's all voluntary. So I'm really looking forward to just chilling. How's the weather up there? What's it like, Alma?
Well, it's beautiful. It rained yesterday a lot, and now it's still cloudy, but it's dry. And I wanted to tell you that they removed the Baca Meadows sign at the entrance. So I took care of it already and put like 4 Baca Meadows signs up there, as well as an LED lit balloon. So I'm
why did they take down the Baca Meadows sign?
I don't know. They made it like it's like a hiking area now or something. They're trying to designate things. Whatever they want to designate them, because they like to do that. They just like to get together and rule things, whoever they, them, those are. And, you know, that's just their thing. So, you know, whatever. I put up the Baca Meadows signs, and I'll probably leave them until, you know, they don't come. You know, I'm just going to leave them this time, because this is Baca Meadows. The sign about the family is still up here right when you enter, and you learn about how people used to travel along that road, and the Baca family was house them and feed them, and you know that's kind of what we're doing here in spirit. So it's,
yeah, they had a there's a memorial there, the information plaque, a forest kind of, you know, point of interest, history something, and we did some research on it and found out that, you know, the family, somehow they just kind of let the land go, or there were no successors, or they made a deal with the fort. And you did some effort to try and find out the history of the actual plot, and found out what? That there isn't any?
The Baca family parcel has no parcel information, whereas all of the surrounding parcel information, surrounding parcels say National Forest Service. And not only that, but some of the APN numbers are doubled and copied, and the information about the lot sizes are copied. And so you can obviously tell they're fraudulent just by looking at their own website, because they have lying information on there. It's not truthful. But this property seems to have been left alone, and as far as I'm concerned, it's the only free property left in America.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think they may just leave us alone, you know, because they don't want to have this brought out or examined anymore. So I said, you know, this is the deal. You just leave us alone, and we won't scratch the surface anymore.
You know? Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how things go, because as time goes on and the festival continues to happen year after year, the locals will find out about it, and a lot of the locals don't even know where Baca Meadows is, and they're just, like, working down the street in Heber at a convenience store, you know, and I'm like, you never heard about Baca Meadows, Jackalope Freedom Festival? And I was actually able to come in the Heber way this time and talk to some people. So I definitely, and since I live that way now, I plan on hitting up that area a lot more. And a week ago, I stopped at the convenience store in Forest Lakes, and I talked to the two people that work there about the festival, and I put up a flyer, so it's on the board.
Well, that's cool. I mean, a lot of locals, as the years go by, they start to... They know something's going on because a lot of these same jackalope people come and, you know, go to their restaurant in the morning if you want to drive the, like, 8 miles down the dirt road to get to where, you know, you can sit at a table and somebody do it for you. But there's a lot of good food there, so I don't see the need. The other thing is the roads, bringing in the RVs. We've had big RVs in there, and Dara and Tony may bring their big rig. You know, I'm just going, yeah, you can make it, but you better plan on going slow because it is Forest Road. So this is, you know, Gary and Verta brought in their big, giant pop-out RV. But, yeah, you can go back there, but it is, you need to understand, it's remote.
I'm from Heber Overgard in an RV. That's the way you want to come from. It's like a straight shot. Flat. You don't have to go over that big hill that is kind of scary if you're in a big vehicle. Coming, you know, if you came in from Forest Lake, there's a big hill you have to go over. So Heber Overgard is the way you want to come in, and you just come straight down Black Canyon Lake Road.
Okay. Yeah, I know there's another way going. You'll see there's one place as we went exploring, there was a home that's on, I don't know, at least 20 acres or something like that. Beautiful home with big, giant solar tree panel things out in the fields, and beautiful home. I mean, that thing has to be at least $3 million, and you have the barn, and there's somebody, and you'll see out in the middle of nothing political 4x8 signs for whoever their chosen candidate or something is. Okay, so I'm going, yeah. So as we started to do more research, we could see what was going on. It's a lot of government retiree, pension, military, intelligence, CIA, police, whatever, that are up there. And that's why they wanted to, you know, they take their little, they want to come visit with it. They want to go check these guys out and see, you know, how much clothes the children are wearing or something, you know. So I'm just going, so we welcome everybody. Yeah, come on in. Buy something for donation. Yeah, that's it. So this is, I don't think there's going to be, you know, the second year is when they started to show their butt and do their M16 vest helicopter crap. But they just kind of, you know, figured out that, you know, we just digging on it and taking pictures of it and video. And they just kind of, dang it, these guys don't intimidate very easy. You go, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. You know, that's one thing. If a ranger comes out and gives you a ticket for anything, then you go, you know, we want to check the jurisdiction on this particular piece of land. That may be a conduit by which we get to do discovery and find out what's what. I'm not sure they want to.
They have no jurisdiction here. I would fight that to whatever I had to fight.
Yeah, I want to see that. We'll try that. We'll just smile and be polite and give me my ticket, and, you know, we'll just see what's what. So that'll be of interest. The other thing is that the expansion abilities there is just so many people, more people can go. But you got a place scoped out you're going to do the jackalope hiding?
Probably in the same area.
That we did. Yeah, yeah, we got to get creative, man. These kids, yeah, they'll fight it. We had it pretty hard last time, you know, the year before. I mean, there's been, you know, we've been pretty creative in how we, what do you have as the jackalope that you're hiding now? Is it an image, or you got a paper mache thing again, or what are you doing?
I actually left the little styrofoam jackalopes. I think they're still in storage. A lot of my stuff ended up still in storage that I didn't get to after the traveling and the moving and things like that. I do have Jack. I have the paper mache jackalope. We could hide him, but he's really big. I do have some of the plastic laminated sheets that I did the first year. But we could come up with something new altogether. I'm open to ideas.
Yeah, we can make it out. We can just go, you know, shoot us a jackrabbit.
No.
But we'll come up with something. There was we have one of the pictures here of a rabbit, you know, the kid that won it. And he's like, so because the prize is a real rabbit. Well, Bob and his kids, they still have that rabbit. It runs around in their house, you know. And I'm going, he goes, yeah, I got rabbit pellets everywhere, you know. So I'm just...
Ernie, on a leash.
I just, you know, the parents are going, no, you're not taking the rabbit. That's one of the things all the parents are going to, if you find it, we're not getting a rabbit unless you want to eat it here or something, you know? So,
the parents have actually come to love the rabbits. I hear them talk about their pet rabbits now.
Oh, man, I don't want the grandkids with no rabbits, man. I'm just, but anyway, that's kind of fun for everybody. The last year they roasted a pig. And are they going to be doing something like that this year?
Well, there's Restaurant Row, so everyone's bringing lots of meat, like the rabbits, the quail, the cow, and there's going to be an unlimited amount of food here.
So is Magpok homesteading up there?
Not yet, but I think he's coming today or tomorrow. He's coming today, and he's bringing how many rabbits? 20 rabbits.
Oh, alive or ready to cook?
We'll be a class on how to cook rabbits. How to butcher rabbits and how to eat rabbits.
I guess, you know, that's how well he did the quail and the rabbits before. Then you have Keith Cernick. We just talked to him. He'll be up there for a couple of days. He'll be there tomorrow, and he has to leave sometime Saturday because he's got a memorial thing he's got to go to. But, you know, he'll come out and hang. And then we have call Duggar, Donna. Go ahead and call Duggar and make sure he's coming. And then,
yeah. There's like 160 RSVPs on Facebook and 140 maybe. And I know people coming from all over the country.
Really? Okay. Yeah, no, there's always... It's, you know, it's getting in the triple digits. I mean, I was afraid it might get... That's why last year it was time to go do some reconnoitering and find out, you know, get some recon on where would they go. And there's a lot of places. You know, there's way more trails and places to camp there where we're usually as where the big trailers and RVs go. But if you're willing to take like our Montero and go up on the hill a little bit further, we usually camp away from the rock and roll at late at night or early in the morning. 7 where Alma's like, it's come to eat our breakfast time. Shut up. So we got places to go to get away from that so that we can go and relax. But there's enough facilities that are there created by the people that they're willing to share for a week, a few days, and it's a very relaxing, pleasant environment time for friends. There we go. All right, we'll be up there. We're going probably early tomorrow. So we're hoping that we can get up there, be set up and done by lunchtime so that we can just kind of, you know, sit there and we'll have lunch or go visit with everybody and go eat lunch off of whoever so we don't have to do anything and then we'll make our own dinner. But so we'll be there tomorrow night.
Okay.
Is Duggar going?
We'll look for you. I know Richard's coming up today. So.
Okay, hold on a second. When's Duggar going? Okay, so he'll be up there midday. Duggar will be up there midday tomorrow. So this is, yeah, everybody I know, it's got a lot of them are going. So this might be, you know, bigger than last year, you think?
Yeah.
Every year until forever and ever and ever.
you know my thing. Don't get all organizy. But I'm really glad to hear that the power is going. Did he go with the intention of powering the main area there for everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like with 9 batteries. Holy crap. You know?
He got those, you can talk about it. He's quite the whiz in solar. So if anyone wants to learn about solar, you just go talk to Greg. He's done it for 16 years. So.
Well, very cool. We set up here in the office. I had an entire box. But yeah, you're an electrician. You understand. Dennis came over and took... how was it, 60 amps or something, breaker, and he put it over into a separate breaker over here by where the little air conditioner is on the outside wall by the aquadome, and it has a 30-amp circuit that comes in from the solar, and then it has on-grid, off-grid. When I pull that switch down, it totally converts over to the solar to 4 circuits I have running in the studio that it can either run off to the grid, and then it's making a new box so I don't have... breakers tripping all the time. That was a problem. I remember we talked about that. And now it's, boom, I go onto this new panel that's on fed by the grid, or I pull the manual switch down, and it goes totally off the grid, and all those circuits, including some, like, you know, hall lights and the the freezers in the garage, and I put, you know, a bunch of different stuff up there to make use of it, goes totally solar. Well, we're building that boat trailer out there, the double axle that we're putting these panels on, but we got it in like an accordion thing that just pulls out the end and boom, done. So I'd like to see how he's storing his panels and deploying them. But you get them, it's called Sun Elect. It's a Will Call solar place here, you know, on like 43rd and Indian School or something. I mean, it's just a big giant warehouse, and you can get them down to 32 cents a watt. I mean, this is for us doing double what Bob has. 21 panels is going to cost us about $1,500. And I'm going, damn. And then it's like $3,500 for all the, you know, inverters and controllers and all that kind of stuff, a kit thing that we're doing that. But that means for about, with everything that I want, for about $7,000, I can have mobile enough solar panels to power at least two full homes. So I'm going, wow, okay, I can do that. So that's what we're doing. So I'm going to be very interested to see what he has. So certainly by next year, I mean, we're going to be able to just bring up the power station, but I'm glad somebody's already doing it. The where are people kind of mostly spread? Are they spread out over the different areas, or are they kind of concentrated?
Nope, they're spread out. They're all over the place.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'll see where we want to go, because I might want a little bit of access to sun, you know, for the solar thing, but I don't care. You know, I'm not using that much. So I got to worry about it. But the, all right, well, we're getting ready now. That's as soon as I get done doing the show. We're packing up the trailer and getting ready. We could go tonight if we had to, but I think we'll just go early in the morning and save the hassle.
He's got a new vehicle.
Who?
And he's up on the hill.
So who?
I might want to set up by him.
Who? So
what I wanted to tell you is that he has an...
Who?
Spartacus.
Oh, okay.
Scott. You know Scott. He's got the big...
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I wanted to tell you that he's got an RF reader. So when we do set up this JackNet thing with the routers and Wi-Fi emitters, we'll be able to test the amount of RF that people are being exposed to.
Yeah, you know, it's less than down here, I can tell you that. But that'd be good to know. The I have an old little mesh. This is really good experimentation for a lot of this, you know, bug out off-grid community, we're over here not dying thing. And I'm wondering how long we could go with the solar. That changes everything. You know, that changes a whole bunch of stuff. Because even the generated one, they're loud, but they require fuel, you know? And we got enough sun. And then what's the other one? Oh, I'm going to bring one of the... What about water? Do I need to bring one of the big poly barrels and fill it up again?
Greg has a 275-gallon tank that they almost filled already.
Oh, so you think we're going to have enough water? I don't need to do that?
There'll be more people, so I say every year bring the same plus more, because it's just going to be more and more and more. And then especially people coming from out of state, you know, they don't have access to all the same stuff, so...
Yeah, we'll do that. We got a lot of this stuff out there. We got more than what we need to bring. But that's one thing that Donna doesn't like, is that, you know, I bring too much. You know, I pimp it out. And I'm just going, well, you know, you're glad that we got this. I'm probably not going to bring a big canopy. I think I'm just going to bring a bunch of tarps, and we'll string them up between the trees as opposed to big giant structures and so on. Because I think these tarps are cheap and they're easy to put. You know, we're just going to do that and see how that works. I'm really trying to get it down to... You know, something easy. She was talking about getting a pop-up trailer, and I looked at them, and beat up piece of crap used junk is, you know, $2,000. So I'm going, heck, man, for that I can build my own, you know, do one of those teardrop things. And I'm really thinking I might want. I just got so many projects in so little time. Pardon me?
About the RV.
It's not made for going up the mountain. I mean, it will. We took it before, but it's just so heavy, and pulling the trailer with that, with the RV, all the stuff on it, and it beats it up. I mean, that is made to go around here in the valley and kind of move around when we do the radio show mobile, or we're doing some activist thing, and that's really what I got it for. I didn't have it to kind of live out of, you know, or actually do the camping. If I go to Lake Pleasant or the lakes here, we'll take it, but going up that mountain, man, you're asking a lot of that old RV, so I don't want to be broke down with an RV on the side of the road. And it was not liking going up in 115-degree weather the year I took it up there. So I'm just going, I'm not going to roll the dice on that anymore. But
I can get the RV up north, and then it won't have to make that trip every year.
Oh, yeah, then it's not my RV anymore.
To be made.
Well, we're gonna go up and, you know, we'll find a spot and take the time. And I don't. That's why I don't want to go at night, you know, because then you rush to just to find a spot and then you're there. So I'm gonna get up there early morning, well, late morning or something, and then kind of scope out where I want to go, and then we'll do that. Well, I look forward to seeing you guys. How's Neo doing?
Oh, he's great. He had his first ATV ride. He loves it.
How old is he now?
9 months.
Is he starting? He's pulling himself up and walking around stuff?
Almost. I mean, he could be walking. He could take his first steps here, yeah. I mean, he kind of take his first steps, but not full first steps yet.
Well, you know, Kellen, Rhea, and Tim's little boy, he just had his first birthday, you know, a couple months ago. And the day before his birthday, Tim just went at it, man. He was like, oh, you got to take it. And they had their iPhone on. Today's the day. We got to do it before he's 1 year old. And he finally took like two steps. And he goes, we win. He walked before he was one. You know, that was his whole goal, you know. So it's about a year they start walking. 9 months, they start pulling themselves up, you know. But, all right, well, we look forward to getting up there. That's kind of amazing that you have a signal. It's kind of low volume, but... But you have a pretty good, say, are you having to stand in just the right place at the top of a tree or anything? Or you got, what service are you using?
I'm standing right by where Scott used to park.
Okay. And then what service do you have?
I have like two bars right now.
No, I mean what company?
Verizon.
Okay. Now I know they want to rule us everywhere. That's good. All right.
Forward to jacking it though, because I don't have cell service at all. I only have an iPad, and so for me to communicate with people, I need to access a net.
Now you're saying that the net that you'd be creating, is it going to tie into the internet or just be a mesh service for, you know, local communications with messaging or something?
Local communications.
Okay, so just do a little.
Although other people that live down there, if they can access the signal, they're going to be able to get on the Wi-Fi as well, and they'll be able to see everything. I mean, it'll be open, so anyone within the distance will be able to access it.
Yeah, we had experience. It was about 400 yards at least, you know, and then we were at the edge of the campground, and we didn't need to go any further. So it was just like, now I'm going, yeah, this signal, you know, Drew and Derek, you know, had it pimped out, but, you know, they had issues, but it was the first year. I was surprised, you know, that it worked as well as it did. And but they tried to do, you know, a lot of funky stuff because they were dealing with the metalith and Bitcoin and running a node and all this other stuff. I mean, it's just they always bite off big giant chunks and figure it out. So here we're just going to go and not worry about it in this state. Do you have any musicians that are coming that you know of?
It's always been my struggle every year is to get the music here, you know, because I'm just not in the scene. So I know that Mike Basic has recently released a bunch of music he wants to play, and I know that, I don't know if you know Luca, Gianna Luca, he has a internet radio show, and I met him in Kingman at the chemtrail meeting that was going on there, and he interviewed me on his show, so I think he's coming, he has music, and he's going to probably bring all, you know, all the people that listen to his show.
Yeah, I would like to, just have... You know, somebody's iPod, I don't care, you know.
I wanted to tell you one more thing. If you can bring more than two mics or as many mics as possible, because, you know, it's just a little bit easier that way.
All right. Yeah, we'll start loading up all the whatever. I'm going to try and not get stupid this time. I always bring way more than I should or need, but I just want to...
Jackalope, your one big thing every year, and not Pork Fest as much, you know. But actually, next year, Brian and I want to do a whole caravan from Pork Fest to Pork West.
I don't know why you didn't go with Scorpiopine Freedom Festival. I love the Scorpiopine logo.
That'll just be the next one.
All right, whatever. You know.
Like, you know, they're like, oh, they come down and get us if that ever happens. They're like, no, you're all out. If that ever happens, like, if it does. And we'll just be like, okay, now it's not
Juglope
anymore.
whatever, it doesn't matter. All right, hey, we'll be up there. I'm looking forward to just chilling.
All right, I know. That's why we come early.
All right.
Peace and quiet before the peace and quiet goes away.
Well, that's why we stay a day or two more, just, you know, make sure it's all cleaned up and just chill and just, you know, and relax. And
my big family was here when we got here, and they left a freaking huge pile of trash. Not jackalopes, obviously. Scott's over there, like, picking it up now.
Yeah, no, we always make sure it gets so really cleaned up, so we're, you know, we make it better when we got there. All right, cool. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks, Alma, Brian.
Bye-bye.
Bye.